Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting you ready for our amazing race wrap up here in just a moment with Jessica Leese to talk about episode number 9 of The Amazing Race 26 with just a couple teams left here, down to 4 teams here, heading towards the finale of Amazing Race in just 2 weeks. But before we get to tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Sherry's Berries, because Sherry's Berries is reminding you tonight about Mother's Day. It's around the corner, and Mama has been so good to you. I still remember the time that my mama, she used to make the best concoctions for us. She would give me a list of ingredients and send me out to the store and say, Sonny, bring back all of my stuff and I'll make you a moonshine. And I would say, Mama, that's right. I'm going to head out to market and I'll get you quinoa and all sorts of barley and hops, and she would make me delicious moonshine. And I always appreciated that about my mama. And so I want to pay her back for being such a great mama and not making me go out and sort potatoes and just letting me drink the moonshine. So this Mother's Day, I want to do something special. And that's why for the listeners of Rob as a Podcast, we are offering a great offer from Sherry's Berries. Giant freshly dipped strawberries starting at just $19.99, over 40% savings. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in the code REALITYTV. Get berries dipped in white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolatey goodness with chocolate chips, nuts, decorative swizzle, all the fixins. They are giant, fresh, juicy, and delicious. And you're going to get them for your mom, but you're not going to be able to stop eating them when you stop by. So here's the only way to get this amazing deal. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99. The offer is only for the listeners when you use the code REALITYTV. That's reality space TV. Visit berries.com. That's BERRIES.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in REALITYTV. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone and enter the code REALITYTV. From my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who doesn't burn 576 calories in a week, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race live recap here on a Friday night. Here to talk about what is going on here as we are closing in to the end of the Blind Date Amazing Race down to our final 4 teams. Here is my BFF. Here is Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. My Fitbit's telling me that I'm having a really good day.
Oh, good. How many steps have you done today, Jess?
I can actually check that for you.
Okay. What's your, how many steps are you up to?
9,386.
Wow. I'm at, 2,132.
I'm clearly like, I'm the Haley to your Blair.
In fairness to me, I think I forgot to put it on until like about the afternoon. So I don't. It doesn't work if you don't wear it. Anyway, Jess. First off, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I think you know, not the most entertaining of Amazing Race episodes, but I got nothing to complain about.
Oh well, there were definitely some wacky moments, and here we are. We finally have another elimination leg, and now we're down to just our final 4 teams. Is it just 2 weeks from tonight the Amazing Race finale will air?
Exactly 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh my God. And here we are with the final 4, really anybody's race of these 4 teams that are left. So we will break that all down as the Amazing Race went to Peru tonight.
I was very excited to see Peru actually, because they have not been there in a really long time.
All right. Well, they are back. They are here in Peru, and we're going to talk about everything on the race tonight. Of course, we have our chat room open at robswebsite.com. We're also taking your tweets at hashtag REJP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. And then, of course, on Monday, I will be speaking with our most recently eliminated Amazing Race team, Matt and Ashley.
I'll be very excited and to hear about what they have to say, because I think they are the kind of team that's not going to hold back.
They're not going to hold back. Hopefully that they will hold back from each other. And I don't think they'll be too, they were a team that while they seemed like they were a fiery team, they never really fought with each other too much.
No, I get the feeling that on any other season, they would be that team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they just got a little outclassed.
You mean in terms of the competition?
In terms of bickering, I think they would be the bickery team, like the kind of crazy, intense bickering ones. But we didn't really see that side of them because everything got drowned out by the Haley juggernaut.
Yeah, it was a night where we did have our regular check-in with Providence Haley.
Yes. But, I don't even know, like, is there, can we call it like Florida Haley or?
I don't know. It's such a crazy season though, Jess, because they come in first.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, people are constantly on them about how they talk to each other, or specifically how she talks to him and how she's dead weight and useless. But she did arguably the most physical roadblock I've ever seen, and they still came out on top.
Yeah, there's really like some shades of Dave and Rachel here with Blair and Haley in that they're the bickering, like, productive team.
I see that you've been reading my blog, Rob.
Yes, always. So, Jessica, wasn't it kind of crazy that, like, they had a physical task, but it, like, the physical task, it's almost like that if you have, like, do you ever follow The Dog Whisperer?
I am familiar with the show.
Well, Caesar feels like people don't have bad dogs. You have dogs that, like, need more walks. And because the dog has, like, pent-up energy, that's why the dog is, like, yippy and barking. And it was almost like, all right, Haley, you go and take this task. You go take the machete and chop down all the sugar cane. It was almost like that was therapeutic for her, that she burnt off all this energy. And then she was, like, much more pleasant the rest of the leg.
Well, and I, you know, Blair is definitely calm, assertive. That's kind of his default state. So, yeah, I guess that works for them. And, you know, you tire them out, they go right down for a nap. You're a parent, you know this.
Yes. Yeah. And then with the whole, like, with her always, like, wanting to go her own way, that's like pulling on the leash. She wants to, like, keep going in her, like, you have to follow me. Maybe that because then she was not as, it didn't have as much energy. Then they were able to, like, walk, you know, side by side.
Yeah. Blair's got to be the pack leader.
You got to be the pack leader. Got to have Caesar. All right. So not to compare Haley to a dog in any, we're comparing this to the practices of the Dog Whisperer.
Yeah. We are analyzing the behavioral science behind it. We're not saying that anybody is a dog in this scenario.
No, absolutely not. Or a Chicken Whisperer either. That's a different show.
That's an entirely different show.
That's Big Brother Canada. Okay. So, Jess, it was a night also where I felt like it was a little bit of a fall from grace for Tyler and Laura, who I thought were the odds-on favorites at this point in the race.
Well, the funny thing is we saw them kind of make a mistake that we saw teams make last season. We saw last season, I think it was Jim and Misty and Bethany and Adam who didn't read the fine print on their clue that said, you can have this ticket or you can have some other ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we saw the same thing happen to Tyler and Laura this leg because they kind of wanted to go out and party in Amsterdam because who wouldn't want to go party in Amsterdam? They skimmed their clue. The clue is like, you already have plane tickets. They're like, great, we already have plane tickets. We're set.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out and party and they don't realize that it says you already have plane tickets, but if you want to go get some other plane tickets, that's cool with us.
Okay, a couple things about that. Why does the race do that on some legs and not others?
Well, on some legs, I think if it's going to be a flight that's going to be kind of busy, they really want to avoid a scenario that happened about 10 years ago with the Amazing Race All-Stars. That wasn't 10 years ago, that was like 8 years ago. But anyway, they want to avoid the scenario where we have a bunch of teams that are trying to get out of a country, but every single flight is booked up and they can't get anywhere for days and days. And so we had the situation where teams were stuck for hours and hours and hours in the airport with, like, at one point, I think this was Joe and Bill, who were one of the teams, our great friends of Rob as a podcast. They said they had like $50,000 in standby tickets and they couldn't get anywhere because it turned out that this was a major religious holiday and people were flying out of Tanzania pretty much nonstop. So the race has decided they don't want that to ever happen again. So they make reservations on flights for insurance, so that if, you know, if teams can't get their own ticket, they can get out of there at least.
Okay. And so, but how come on some legs they allow you to change it? Is it because some legs they have the transferable tickets, or they have on some legs they've bought tickets that you can be able to exchange?
Yeah, I would assume so. And it's also sometimes it's just a reservation. It's not a plane ticket, which we've seen that come up before. Like, you're not allowed to change a flight once you are confirmed on it, but you can certainly exchange it for another ticket.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens sometimes. And I think also it's a bigger concern on some flights than other flights. Like, this is a kind of a specific location they're trying to get to. Even though Amsterdam's kind of a big hub, they wanted to guarantee that everybody would be able to get out of it because it's a long flight and they didn't want to have to hold people for 3 days to get everybody to catch up.
Now, I thought it was ironic that it was Laura. She wanted to go out to a bar because she wanted to celebrate that she was now in the Dirty 30, but it ended up screwing her up in the flight tickets, because as far as I know, Jess, everybody who I know who's in the Dirty 30 has no problem getting flight tickets to go anywhere they want to go in the United States.
Yeah, it's true. They're flying all over the place and, you know, having viewing parties, hanging out with the Wine and Cheese Alliance.
Yes, going everywhere they want to go. I thought once you're in Dirty 30, you just have like carte blanche to travel wherever you want.
Evidently. Apparently you don't have a job either.
Wow. Can you believe that? Was there infringement from Laura onto the Survivor hashtag Dirty 30?
I have a feeling that she's going to get some very angry phone calls from the legal team that's behind the Dirty 30.
Yes. So who's a lawyer from this season?
Did we have any lawyers? I think we just had we had Haley.
Haley.
Haley's going to call him up.
Cease and desist, man.
You're harshing our mellow.
You're harshing our mellow here. That's from America only. And you're in Amsterdam, lady. All right. So Laura is now in the Dirty 30. Congratulations to Laura. And her and Tyler did have a rough go this leg. Of course, they didn't read the thing. And then Laura was like, well, we don't want Haley and Blair around because Haley is negative energy. She's harshing Laura's mellow.
Yeah. And, you know, if they had been a little bit nicer, they might have gotten let in on some travel secrets.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, Jess, where does that fit in on the JL rules of even if a team is annoying, that what do you want to do? You want to stick around because you want to keep an ear to any of the gossip if anybody has a better ticket?
Yeah, you want to keep good relations with every other team that's left in the race because they might know something that you don't. And if they don't like you or they think you don't like them, they're not going to share it with you.
Okay, so thinking of back to Haley. Let me ask you a meta question about this. Is okay. Haley a fan favorite or a villain this season?
Por qué no los dos, Rob? I think frequently when it comes to CBS reality programs, these things are not mutually exclusive.
Yes. Okay. So you think that she is beloved and hated?
A lot of people cannot stand her. Like, people on the internet are saying terrible things about Haley, and it kind of upsets me, like how cruel people can be on the internet. But honestly, there's also a lot of support
for her. Can you sum up what people are saying about her?
Basically, shut up, Haley. If you know, okay, you remember some of the things that like Dan and Rodney on Survivor are saying about the various women on their tribe. Mm-hmm. People are saying these things about Haley. Like, I would slap her to shut her up. Why doesn't she ever stop talking? If she was my partner, I would have quit the race.
Yeah. And the last one I think is fair. But the other ones are a different level. But I do think about Haley that I do see her as a burgeoning fan favorite. Like, I almost see her as a first generation Rachel Riley in the Big Brother house, where she is this big character who's having these meltdowns, and it's great TV to see her, you know, get so worked up, but then she bounces back, and then she has moments where she's just, you know, so happy and joyful and playing with babies and stuff like this, and everything is great. But then in the next moment, she could just have another meltdown. And I think that in some ways she has a little bit of that. And it really, Rachel didn't really become beloved by the fans of Big Brother, I feel like, until her second time around.
Yeah, I think that's a very good comparison, because I think also, you know, that the bulk of my Rachel Riley experience has been with this program and not Big Brother. But when things are going well for Haley, she can't be stopped, and she is great, and she's nice to everybody, and she's pleasant to watch. But anytime something doesn't quite go her way, then the whole thing goes apart.
Yeah.
And personally, like Rachel, I love Haley too. I think she's great television. I really love it when things are going her way, and I want to see her go far.
Yeah, I love her too. I'm a fan of her. I can probably sympathize with Blair, but I feel like Blair isn't that interesting. He's just like the straight man here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, Brendan's not that interesting either.
Like, Haley could have her own show. I'd be okay with that.
The Haley Show.
Well, if we were going to do another CBS crossover, I do feel like Haley going to Big Brother, I think, would be one that I would sign off on.
I wouldn't be surprised if she tried out for Big Brother and then got shunted to The Amazing Race.
Yes.
You know that frequently happens. People try out for one show and get cast for another.
Yeah, well, I think that she's been great here, but I feel like a summer of her in the Big Brother house would be beyond fantastic. All right, so let's just talk a little bit about some of the other teams, and then we'll break down this leg of the race. For Jenny and Jelani, what did you think about them tonight?
Well, this was a pretty strong week for Jenny and Jelani. One of the things that I really loved, and you know, if we can go back to Haley for a second, I loved that both Haley and Jenny took on this task that was clearly like set out there, with everybody figuring that the big, strong, manly man of the team was going to tackle that task. And both Jenny and Haley did it, and they did it with no complaints and in pretty good time, it looked like.
Yeah. No, Phil was really made it seem like that the teams will have to do this backbreaking work. It's like, oh my God, I am really concerned about the women that selected this. But like everybody like seemed like they got through it like pretty quick. Like this wasn't a task where you saw they cut to like people being like, oh my God, I'm never going to get through this, or being on the verge of a meltdown.
Yeah. Or like, I'm thinking of season 6 with Jonathan and Victoria trying to build the hut in Ethiopia and like screaming and injuring themselves. When I saw that like 50 yards of sugarcane, I was thinking that's where we're going with this, but everybody just kind of did it and wasn't an issue.
Yeah. Okay. Just to add to this conversation about Blair and Haley, I must say Sarah Freeman is saying on Twitter, Blair is great for deadpan one-liners. Credit where credit's due. Okay. That's fair. He has given some good reactions a couple of times, even like a Jim Halpern reaction to some of the Haley stuff. So I'll give him, he has played off of her well.
Yeah, I do kind of like he's definitely, like you said, he's very good at playing the straight man.
But I wouldn't want to see him in any other capacity except for interacting with Haley.
I could put him with another intense personality. Like maybe Blair gets his own show, and it's just like every week they bring him another person that's extremely intense.
Yes. And with all due respect, I mean, he seems like a great guy. Yeah, I would go to him as a doctor. Sure. I'm just talking about it in terms of casting.
Yeah. In terms of casting, like he originally applied to be on the show with his dad, and I'm kind of picturing like a less interesting Dave and Connor situation.
Yeah. Dave and Connor situation. Dave, poor man's Dave and Connor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, we have Mike and Rochelle, who are, again, hanging in there.
Yeah, they did well. They didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah. So they're hanging in there. They were spending a lot of time on the moonshine task. This was a kind of a boozy episode of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, yeah. I always enjoy any look into the local hooch wherever they go.
Yes. All right. So were you disappointed we didn't have more of that in Amsterdam?
We could have had more of that in Amsterdam.
We certainly could have had more of that.
You know, if they let me design the challenges in Amsterdam, it would have been very, very good television.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk through some of these tasks tonight. And of course, the first task was really getting on a plane.
Yeah.
figuring out that you could get on the earlier plane was the first task.
Which, you know, it's nice to have that little bit of classic Amazing Race thrown in there where you have a little bit of airport drama.
A little bit. And then teams had to find the shoe shine.
Yeah, they had to find a shoe shine stand in a particular, I think they called it like Plaza Merced. And I think there might have been, I think one of two things happened here. It was either one of those situations like we saw in Amazing Race All-Stars with like Piazza John Keats and John Keats Street. Or it was one of those situations where the cab driver was like, oh, sure, I know where it is. I don't think you should walk there. I think I'm going to have to drive you and you're going to have to pay me to do it. I can't tell which thing exactly was going on there.
Yeah. So what, you know, what was going on with the, that it's dangerous?
I think.
Was that a scam?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Taking advantage of the tourists?
Yeah. I'm not sure that they're in any amount of real danger when they've got like an entire camera crew following them around.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've encountered that in a couple of neighborhoods in Latin America that, like, they seemed all right when we were there, maybe a little quiet. And we've had people, like, just come off the street and say, you shouldn't be here. This is very dangerous. You need to go.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a thing that I've seen happen before.
If a team was, like, mugged or assaulted on The Amazing Race by, you know, the people that are the locals, would they show it on the episode?
Well, I've never seen anything violent happen to a team, but there was one particularly sketchy incident where there was a team that had a cab driver try to scam them.
Mm.
And the cab driver basically drove them out in the middle of nowhere and demanded a bribe to be taken back into the city.
Wow.
And that was a really scary moment.
Yeah, with the camera crews also?
Yeah.
So what'd they do?
They ended up, like, it took a very long time, and I don't think we saw the extent of, like, who had to be called in to deal with this, but it took some negotiating, and eventually they were taken back to where they started from.
Wow.
But they ended up going out the next leg.
Okay. Did they send Phil, like, a ransom note? Phil, you want your teams back? And then Phil's like Liam Neeson in Taken?
If Phil kills 38 people trying to get his racers back?
Yeah, give me back my teams. You don't know who you're messing. I will find you. I will hunt you down. Yes. Give me my money.
You give me my teams back. That will be the end of it.
Yeah, that'll be it. All right. So we had also the speed bump, which was a emphasis on a bump.
Yeah, that was. I liked how everybody walked by and was like, well, that's clearly something to do with the race.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's nothing anybody would actually ever do.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we got some llamas dressed up. We got some like stern looking Kafka-esque guys with typewriters.
Yes. Now, did you know that the llama loan business was such a big deal in Peru?
You know who I bet knows all about llama loans?
Who is that?
I bet Tony and Cass know all about llama loans.
I suspect that they probably do.
I mean, waiting for that.
How much do you have to pay to rent a llama for the day?
I'm not sure. Whatever it is, I bet it's a bargain.
Yeah. Well, you know the best part about renting a llama is?
You don't have to keep it. You can give it back at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you could really just run it into the ground. You know, really just like, you know, you can
smash it into the curb.
Right. You get it dirty, you know, spill a drink on it. Yeah, that's fine. You just do whatever, you know, feed it all sorts of whatever, beefarino, and then you just give it back and then you'll be fine. You'll be fine. As long as you don't put too big of a deposit down on the llama.
Yeah, well, you really need to spring for the extra llama insurance.
Yes. Well, that's how they get you. That's the scam.
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot of people don't know they're already covered with their regular pet insurance that when they go out and drive a llama. Also, does anything about the llama mean that you have to have the application with a typewriter? I mean, can't you write out the llama loan application in pen?
Well, you need to be sure that your handwriting is extremely legible.
Yeah.
That's legible with two L's.
Is there a deposit you have to put down to rent a llama?
Oh, I'm sure there is. you know, you don't want to end up like losing the llama and not getting your deposit back.
Yeah. And do you have to bring the llama back to that place, or is it sort of like the city bikes again?
I think it depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because if you have to bring it back to the same place, I feel like the idea would be to go and would you ride the llama to get someplace? Like, what would you need the llama for afternoon? And then bring it like, oh, I got a big date tonight. I want to impress this girl. Let her think I have a lot of exotic animals around, like I'm Mike Tyson. Like, can I rent a llama for the afternoon and impress my blind date and then bring him back later on tonight?
Well, I think llamas are mostly pack animals. So you just like load the llama up with all your stuff so you don't have to carry it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it's like your date shows up and is like, oh, well, I could hold your purse for you, or my llama could.
Yes. Okay.
So, I mean, I would be impressed if a dude showed up at my doorstep with a llama for our date.
Yes.
That'd be fantastic.
What would be more impressive, a llama or a feisty zebra?
The feisty zebra probably, but not going to lie, either one would, you know, that guy'd be getting some that night.
Whoa. I was not expecting that. Jess, you know what the best part about having a rented llama is?
Did we already cover this, or is there another best part?
The other best part of having a rented llama, other than it's quite the aphrodisiac, is that you can have the llama spit on your potatoes.
That's true.
When you run out of water.
Llamas are very good at spitting.
They'd be that you could use their spit on potatoes.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll talk about mamas and papas coming up. All right. So they had to go ahead and go through the sugar cane task. And really, nobody got hung up on the sugar cane task.
Not really. I thought it was going to be a lot harder. I think maybe all those years where I had read the book, The Thorn Birds, that has this really graphic description of how hard it is to cut sugar cane. I think that kind of prepared me for sugarcane cutting to be a lot harder than it ended up looking.
Yeah, seemed pretty simple. And the teams then had to go and take the sugarcane to a stand. Jess, I'm interested to know your take on this, where there was a mathematic formula that the teams had to do. I'm like, okay, let's see how this is going to play out. Take the number of steps over the course of the race and the number of calories burned, and add the steps and calories from this leg, and then divide the calories by the steps to determine how many steps you'll have to take to burn off 576 calories of the sugarcane juice. I said, okay, fine. They give them calculators, Jess. What is the point of this task?
I don't know. At one point, there were Amazing Race tasks that required math, and the only people that got through the task quickly were the people that thought to bring their own damn calculator with them. And I feel like people should have had to do that.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that a task more than here's a calculator to figure out this simple equation?
Yeah. And that wasn't even like, it wasn't even long division. It was like, you know, it was like third grade math.
What are we proving here with, if you give teams a calculator to do a math problem?
Yeah, I think maybe they were worried that one of these teams would get really tripped up by it. And it'd be one of those like Big Easy trying to unscramble the five-letter phrase sort of situations where they're sitting there for 4 hours trying to do the
It should have been like some sort of calculator that was like connected to like a treadmill, and the treadmill could power the calculator if the person was running like, you know, 13 miles an hour or faster. This would be a task if you could
do
this. You
can't do anything while you're running 13 miles an hour.
One person is running and the other person is using the calculator.
Okay.
And it's like speed. It only works if you're up or like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. It's only going to work. You should see how much math we can do when this baby hits 13 miles an hour.
Okay. That would be good TV.
Whoa. Are you telling me you built a calculator out of a treadmill? Yes, precisely.
This is heavy.
Calculator math is the number one export of Peru.
Hey, you, get your damn hands off my treadmill.
Set the time circuits for 576 calories.
that's 4,083 steps. Actually, yeah, there was something screwy about that
math. Where we're going, we don't need a treadmill. Okay, sorry. All right,
that's so it had to be the amount, like the amount you'd already done, and it was the total amount you'd need minus what you'd already done to figure out how many more steps you'd need, because 576 calories, my friends, I have a step counter. You do not burn 576 calories by going 4,000 steps. That math does not.
Are you saying that there was a shenanigans on the part of Fitbit, who was obviously a sponsor of this episode, that they made it seem like you burn more calories walking than you actually do?
I think it was one of those things where they just threw a lot of numbers on the screen and they're like, look at all the calories you can burn. But it was like, it was 4,083 plus something else.
Have you ever had sugarcane juice?
Yeah, I've had it.
How is it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Okay. What would you rather have, sugarcane juice or Peruvian moonshine?
A Peruvian moonshine.
Mama's. No question. How many calories are in Mama's moonshine?
Well, that I do not know. But I think you have enough of it, you don't care.
Have you ever had moonshine, Jess?
I've not had Peruvian moonshine.
Have you had regular moonshine? Have you had American moonshine?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Not like bootlegging moonshine. Now they have a thing. I don't think
you make it.
This doesn't even really count anymore, because moonshine used to be something you had to make on your own. And now the companies are bottling it and selling it in bars.
But it's not really moonshine, right?
It's not really like the kind that'll blind you.
Is that what it is? Is that a thing that it will blind you? Like, is that real, or is that a wives' tale of that, like a prohibition? Like, hey, don't make moonshine, you go blind. Like other things that they tell you, if you do, you'll go blind. Is that what that's like? It's just like a wives' tale.
I wouldn't know about that, Rob. But I don't want to go too far afield, but during Prohibition, people used to cut their moonshine with a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was not things that you should be drinking.
Yeah. I had moonshine once, Jess.
And you live to tell the tale.
I live to tell the tale and can still see just fine no matter what I'm doing.
So if you go blind, it'll be for some other
reason. No, it won't. Listen, I can still see right now everything. This is proof positive. But Jess, the moonshine. Yeah, I went to right after I got off Survivor, I went to one of these charity events, and Big Tom brought his own moonshine from home and was giving people his moonshine.
All right. Myth debunked. If anybody was going to give you a drink of moonshine that would make you go blind, it'd be Big Tom.
Yes.
And since you are fine, I'm going to say,
hey, have some of this moonshine.
Oh my God.
Brought it from home. Yeah.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. But I am a fan of like the local, like I try to try the local booze wherever I go.
Yeah. It did look.
And if I went to Peru, I'd be into this.
The ingredients look terrible. And it looked like kava.
Well, Rob, you know what goes in beer, right?
What?
Like beer is made out of like barley and hops. It's basically, you know, this was like corn and rice.
Yeah. It looked like there was
grains and yeast and like magical flavorings. Oh. That's every booze ever.
Magical flavorings.
Magical flavorings.
Wow. Is there a spell that they do to make it work?
Well, I don't know what Mama was doing there. They didn't really go into depth on the procedure, but I did look it up on Wikipedia because I was curious.
Yes.
And it's typically like this is made out of cloves and honey and corn and other grains, and then it's fermented and it tastes sort of like a hard cider.
Okay. Just what was easier in your mind, Mama's or Papa's?
Well, see, here's the funny thing. These are both tasks that I saw this past summer very similar tasks on Amazing Race Canada this past summer.
Potato sorting?
There was a fish sorting task. And there was also a shopping list task. That's something that they've done a lot of times.
We've seen the shopping list task.
Yeah, it's like, here's a thing that you're going to need to consume at the end of it, but go buy all these things and then bring it here and then you consume it. That's pretty standard, but they had one of those on Amazing Race Canada, and having seen that, I would have been inclined to go for the potatoes, because when they did it on Amazing Race Canada, the teams that did it got knocked very far behind everybody else.
The teams that did the shopping list.
Yeah.
The potato task, I just didn't think was good TV, because you didn't understand why the potatoes all like fell out. Was it just that they have one wrong? Like they didn't like have a shot of what was wrong. It was just like, oh no, this is wrong. But we couldn't see.
Well, they did have a shot of what was wrong, but we had no clue what was actually going on because it's just a bunch of freaking potatoes.
Yeah. I didn't really understand what was what. I did like how the thing opened up and then all of the potatoes fell down.
Yeah.
I like that part.
That was the only thing that made that compelling television.
Yes. I do like how they're adding more and more to The Amazing Race. Like when you do something wrong, there's like a trap door, or you get sprayed in the face with water or the things fall down. I like that.
Yeah. I like, you know, we're just going to start like, double daring them. We're going to like slime them when they get something wrong.
That's fine with me. I'm okay with that. More please of that. Okay. I think that it was, Haley and Blair were the first team to, get their cider done. Now, how much of a kick is in that moonshine? Because I mean, if you're on The Amazing Race, should you be drinking a huge glass of moonshine? Do you recommend that?
I don't think it's that strong. I don't think it is moonshine. I think it is closer to like home brewed beer.
Okay.
So I'm thinking you could have a beer and still run The Amazing Race.
Okay.
And there have been occasions where they've had to like go to a bar and do a shot of vodka. And like you can do one shot and still run the race. I think it's okay.
Now, what did you think of the prize that Haley and Blair got for being team number one? They got the Fitbit fitness kit. Now, last season, this came up, the Fitbit fitness kit. And say that 10 times fast. And
okay, here's the thing, Rob. It didn't even come up last season. It came up earlier this season.
Oh, it was earlier this season.
And
it was
thing number one.
Well, and what was it? It was like groceries for a year or a gym. Like, I feel like the computer and the phone is new here.
Yeah. It's like, I think they got like, you could choose groceries or a gym membership in the first one. And in this one, there's like a slightly different spin on it, just in case one team won both of them.
I can't believe that was this season. Yeah, like this, that must have been last season.
Must have been in the fall. Duplicate prize. Like you just won something that someone else already won.
Yeah.
Here's thing number two. After that episode happened, everybody in the race, every single contestant got a free Fitbit from Fitbit.
Yeah. Why do you need six Fitbits? I don't really understand. You'll get one of every one we make. I'm like, well. Really only need one.
You need your like casual Fitbit and you need your dress Fitbit.
I guess
so. And you need one to like go with your business attire and one with your cocktail attire.
I guess so. But it's not like if you have like a second Fitbit and I do have one. Like it's not like they would sync up.
Well, that's even weird. I guess maybe they want you to give them away to your family.
I guess so. Get everybody. It's like network marketing.
Yeah. It's Fitbits for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody, you get a Fitbit,
It goes nicely with your t-shirt that says, you know, my daughter went on The Amazing Race and all I got was this lousy Fitbit.
Yeah. Now they say that they'll give you a laptop also and any phone you want.
Any phone you want. Okay. I'm going to have to get out some Japanese catalogs here because I'm going to want this like very one specific phone with like the blingy outer covering. And I'm going to want all of the apps from next year.
Okay. That would be fantastic if you could do that.
Yeah, they said any phone. So,
yeah. All right. So, Tyler and Laura, we saw a little bit of, some cracks there tonight as they were starting to fight with each other. They really had been getting along particularly well. Was it Laura that felt like Tyler was micromanaging her?
Yeah. I think the problem here is they've never been tested.
Yes.
Like they've done pretty well up until this point. I think there was one leg where they were kind of towards the bottom and they came close to going out, but not really through any fault of their own. This time they were behind and it was kind of their fault. And I think it shook them both up pretty badly.
Yeah. Luckily, they had enough spit to persevere through this. I guess that some of the potatoes were dirty. It was hard to tell. They were out of water. And Laura starts spitting on the potatoes.
Yeah, this is an object lesson. Whenever you buy potatoes, wash them before you eat them.
It's like if you ever like are in the grocery store, like, oh, this is a nice looking potato. Look how clean this is.
Yeah, it's clean because someone spit on it. You want stranger spit in your mashed potatoes? I didn't think so. Actually, you do. You usually
boil them. Yeah, I think you'd be okay.
That probably kills everything. That's what I learned from watching Survivor.
Yes. Would you? That's what you learned?
That's what I learned. That's the one thing.
Yeah, but don't stick your foot in that pot of boiling water. That's a no-no.
Yeah, that's the pot everybody drinks out of.
Would you rather have a potato that Laura spit on or that the llama spit on?
I think probably Laura.
Okay. You're hedging. You're hedging, though.
Would you rather have a potato that the llama spit on or a potato that was cooked in, like, foot water?
I'd rather have the potato that the llama spit on. All right. So ultimately, when Jenny and Jelani, they're the second team to arrive to the mat. Phil is starting to, he's given up on the blind dates. Now he's starting to like project onto them. Like, are you disappointed that there's no attraction there?
Yeah, 'cause I sure am.
Yes. Are you as disappointed as I am that this isn't working?
Yeah. Are you as disappointed as I am that nobody did it yet?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad for Phil because he's really trying to sell this concept.
Yeah, he's a real Yenta this season with everybody.
It was apparent from week one that it wasn't going to work. But on the other hand, everybody's kind of boring in terms of dynamics this season, apart from maybe Blair and Haley. Mm-hmm. So I bet Phil's getting kind of bored.
Maybe.
Like, this was supposed to be the gimmick that saved the franchise, and it's kind of a non-starter. And he's still, like, I mean, give him credit. He's still trying to make it happen.
Yeah, but how about this? Of the four teams left, though, Jess, three of them are the blind date couples, and we would not have predicted that at the start of the season. We felt like, okay, well, the blind date teams, that'll be the cannon fodder. That'll get us through the first 5 or 6 weeks, and then it'll be all of the existing couples that will be at the end.
Yeah, you know, I was not banking on it, but I kind of felt like the dating couples that came in pre-dating were some of the more interesting people. And I always assume that the boring people are going to go the furthest.
Yeah. And so the only last standing existing couple is Mike and Rochelle. How do you like that?
I would not have predicted that.
No, no.
That's pretty amazing. And I very much like Mike and Rochelle. I think they are. I wish they were better television, but they seem like really cool people.
Well, they seem very nice. And Phil was like picking on Mike at the finish mat. He's like, so Mike, you're breathing heavy. It's like, yeah, that, have you been using your Fitbit, Mike?
Yeah, that was a little mean.
Yeah. It's like you're winded.
Fitness comes in all shapes and sizes, Phil.
Yes, Phil. For Mike and Rochelle, here they are with a chance to walk away as the winners of this thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're still hanging in and they're not. I think a lot of people see them and they assume like they don't look like your typical fit team. So clearly that means they're not fit. And, you know, Mike does kind of get a little winded sometimes, but they've never really, apart from a couple of really early legs, they've never been in like real danger of having terrible things happen to them. Somebody's always just a little bit worse.
Yeah. Yeah. They've just been right there. They're right there. And
can't kill them.
That's what we always say about the Amazing Race. As long as you're not last.
Exactly. Don't be last. Yeah. That's rule number one.
And they aren't even next to last this week because that's Tyler and Laura. They're team number four.
Yep.
Phil tries to fake them out a little bit too.
Yeah, and they're not buying it because they pretty much already know it.
Yeah, they saw Matt and Ashley at the potatoes.
Yeah, and you kind of almost never saw Matt and Ashley in the same frame as everybody else. And that's another one of the rules. If you don't see a team in the same frame as another team, they're probably very far behind you.
Okay. And then finally, Matt and Ashley show up and they are eliminated. Phil gives them a little more time at the mat than he did with Jeff and Jackie.
Yeah, with Jeff and Jackie, it was kind of like, all right, you're out. Go home.
You're the weakest link. Goodbye. Yeah. So very, very sad for Jeff and Jackie. And Matt and Ashley, what a journey it's been, though, for Matt and Ashley. They got engaged.
Yeah,
they're going to be on Rob as a podcast.
This is a question that I really want you to ask them on Monday. I want to know why Matt picked that exact leg to propose.
I think it was just the nicest view.
Yeah, it was a great view, but you don't know what's coming up.
Yeah, because it's like, what's the move? Do you want to propose on the losing mat? Is that a good move to do? Is that sort of like, you know, sort of just like a save of like, oh, we lost, I'm so disappointed. Like, well, I got something for you.
We're winners in life.
Yeah, we're winners in
That's
life.
That's happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
And there've been a couple of Amazing Race proposals. There were two last summer on international editions. And in one case, it was like, it was their anniversary. And so that was the reason that they chose it. But in the past on US Amazing Race, there was one, it was just like a beautiful beach. And he knew he was going to do it at some point. And he's like, well, this is beautiful. We'll do it here. And another one, Whoa. It was they got eliminated and they were on the mat and it was a really, really tough day. And I think he just kind of wanted to save the day.
What do you think of this move? Okay. You get eliminated and then mm-hmm. you come back in the finale episode. And then when the winners are celebrating, then you grab like, Phil, I want to say something. Like, what do you think you would get that moment?
You sort of pull a reverse Carolyn Brandy there. Take away everybody else's moment of glory on the final mat, and the parting yep. shot for the season yep. is like the seventh place team proposing.
Yeah. What okay, do you think?
I like that. That is reality fame whore-tastic. I love that.
Yeah. I like that. I think that'd be a good spot. Yeah. Shades of Mike Boogie in the Big Brother 2 finale.
Oh my gosh. I actually, that was a season of Big Brother that I watched. I was like, oh my God, were you guys even together? Or did he just have a crush on her? I was never clear on that.
That we don't know. That's one of the great unanswered mysteries. All right. So Jess, we have four teams left.
We certainly do. We're at the final four.
Let's figure this out. How is this playing out? Give us the four teams in order of likelihood to win the race.
Well, it's hard to tell. Like up until this week, I would have said Laura and Tyler have it sewn up.
Yeah.
Because they really, you know, they were on top of their game the whole race. They were getting this sort of Jason and Amy edit where they had never won a leg, but you thought of them as a really strong team. But this week they were kind of awful. And I think they've lost a lot of momentum.
Do you chalk this up to, is this a bad leg? Every team has a bad leg along the way. Do you think that this is just a blip on the radar or a sign of things to come?
I think it's one of those things where I think the later you have that one bad leg, the more potential it has to shake you up.
Mm.
And I don't know that I think they can bounce back from it. I think in general, they've been very strong. And if they can just shake it off and keep going, they have a very good chance to win. So I think Jelani and Jenny, if we're talking about winner's edit, which is less of a thing on The Amazing Race, Jelani and Jenny, we haven't seen much from them. Like,
I feel like winner's edit on The Amazing Race is not so much like you see them being strategic, but you see them being like nice, I feel like.
Yeah. But you know, like on Survivor, if you don't see someone ever,
mm-hmm.
it's almost a sure thing that they are not going to win.
Right.
Like sort of the Brett Clousers of the world don't ever have a chance to win Survivor.
Right. You don't consider them to be a real threat.
Right. And I think Jelani and Jenny are kind of in that where we see them sometimes show up to a task, but they never have a memorable moment. And I think if they were being sold to us as the winners, we would have seen a lot more out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Jelani and Jenny are going to take it. I put them at like third place.
Third place. Okay.
And I think Mike and Rochelle might be the fan favorite team that we kind of want to win, but I don't see them going all the way either. I think they might be the team that gets out in fourth place.
Fourth place. Okay. So you're seeing this as between Laura and Tyler and Blair and Haley?
I think so. And I think Blair and Haley have the most marvelous story if they win.
Oh boy. Could you imagine that? Could Blair and Haley be the team that saves The Amazing Race?
I think The Amazing Race might take a lot more than that to save The Amazing Race, but I think it would be a good story and it'd be a good cap on this season. And if they won, I think we would look back on it with a little more fondness than we will otherwise.
Yeah, I think so. I think that will make us very happy. I do feel like for The Amazing Race, Blair and Haley winning is best case scenario. One, they're a blind date couple.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have this whole Haley storyline, which was conflict and which was, you know, all this drama that goes into it. And I think that would be probably for The Amazing Race, the most desirable outcome.
Yeah, I think so. I think that might be, I think without that outcome, we might even see the Amazing Race slip a little bit further off of the bubble.
Mm. Yeah. And we haven't heard word 100%. And this is going to be the month when we'll find out if Amazing Race is back for the fall.
Yeah. Yeah. They usually film the fall seasons in June.
Yes.
So they got about a month to figure it out. I'm sure it's already been cast. I think they have people waiting to go. They have a course planned out, but we won't know until I think we'll find out this month whether it's even going to happen.
Well, we'll find out because the upfronts are going to be this month. And so when CBS is going to announce what its fall schedule is, we'll find out, you know, exactly where Amazing Race is on the lineup, whether it's on the fall lineup, whether they're saying it's going to be, you know, a replacement for something else after, or if they're going to just do one season for the spring or whatever they're going to do. We'll find out probably by mid-May, probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks, because the upfronts traditionally, I think that they're the week after we get to Mother's Day. So,
okay.
Laura and Tyler, Blair and Haley, who's your pick? Is it Blair and Haley?
It's still Blair and Haley, and I believe they were my preseason pick too. So I'm feeling very good about Blair and Haley. Right,
somebody fact check that. Just this could be revisionist history.
All right, but I think my reasoning was faulty on why I picked them.
Yes.
Because I think when we read their biographies, I said Blair and Haley looked like the most boring team.
Well, they were not.
That I was definitely wrong.
They were not. Yes. Yes.
There was a very brief clip in like the season preview that showed a blonde girl absolutely screaming at a guy.
Yeah.
And I mistook. I didn't really know who was who at that point because I hadn't seen much. I'd seen about 3 minutes a piece of every one of these teams. And for a second, I thought that was Laura. And I'm like, oh, Tyler and Laura are going to hate each other and Blair and Haley are going to be boring. And I had it flipped around.
Okay. All right, Jess. We're going to get to our voicemails in just a second, but I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are friends over at Pro Flowers, because as I mentioned, Mother's Day is sneaking up on us. Just it's next weekend, Mother's Day.
Already.
And, you know, everybody, whether you're married to somebody who is a mom of kids or your own mom or whatever moms are in your life, a great way to get something nice for them is to get them from Pro Flowers, because it's better than macaroni art. That's not that great, right, Jess?
You'd have to be really, really good at macaroni art to even approach this.
You'd have to be very skilled in the macaroni arts.
A veritable macaroni Picasso.
Better than Kramer when he made the Fusilli Jerry.
Oh, way better.
Better than that. And your mom doesn't want you to re-gift anything, so get her something from Pro Flowers, because Pro Flowers is offering our podcast listeners 100 blooms, not Mike Bloom, with a free glass vase for just $19.99, or make the day extra special and upgrade to a premium vase and add chocolates for $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today and use our code REALITYTV. They've got an easy-to-use website for buying a beautiful gift for your mom, simple and quick, because relax with Pro Flowers. Mother's Day is done, and you don't have to worry about scrambling around next week to try to get something. So go ahead and get the 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99. Visit proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, type in Reality TV at proflowers.com, click the microphone and type in Reality TV. Order today. This offer expires Friday at midnight. Yes. And we'll see if in addition to flowers, any of these blind dates bring somebody home for mom for Mother's Day.
Wow, that would be the greatest gift of all.
Well, depending on which one they bring home.
Oh, shut your mouth, Rob. They would all be a great present.
Yes, yes. That would be a fantastic gift for mom. So check out proflowers.com. All right, let's bring in the questions, okay?
All right, let's bring them in.
Here we go, Jess. Let's start with, this is from ID Institute. I don't know about you guys, but I have no idea how this is going to play out. And I really think anyone can win, which is why it's making it such a great finish. What are your thoughts? Exciting finish, Jess?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think anybody has zero chance of winning this game.
Like Spencer?
Yeah, nobody's coming in with a Spencer shot at it.
Phil doesn't have to write anybody a letter?
No, Phil... Phil doesn't generally write letters.
Yes. What does he do? Does he not use the Llama typewriter?
No, he doesn't use the Llama typewriter. He just texts you in the middle of the night.
Yes. Okay. Like Tyler Perry?
Yes. Like Tyler Perry.
Okay. This is from I Love Cheese 777. Wouldn't it have been easier to sort the potatoes first rather than wait like Laura and Tyler did?
I saw like that was what Jelani and Jenny appeared to do. And I think it worked out very well for them.
Yeah. So sort the potatoes and then put them in the bag.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Like do it all there. You have more room to like lay the potatoes out. You don't have to do them like one at a time. You can kind of spread them out and like just push groups together rather than like, oh, this potato goes here. This potato goes here.
More room to spit also.
Yes. More room for spitting. Although there's more dirt. So, you know, you might have to generate more spit.
Yes. That's also fair. Okay. Here's from Mr. Aerosonic. Phil said teams would be competing for a spot in the finals, but he didn't say final three. I really hope they don't do a final four. I like it when it's all three teams. What are your thoughts? Jess, any chance that they do not do a final four?
I think there's a greater than zero chance that there will be a final four.
A greater than zero. Is there a greater than zero chance that there will be a final three?
I think so. It could go either way.
I'm like 90% convinced it's going to be a final four again.
Yeah, me too. And that's like the rumor that's going around. But I would be happier with a final three. I think the final three, I find that a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's like, you know, we're really getting down to it.
Yeah. And also, I thought that the finale, not the winners, because I love the winners.
You love the sweet scientists. We know.
Last season, I thought the finale was kind of poorly designed.
Poorly designed finale.
Yes.
Worse than the previous season's finale?
Well, we don't really talk about the previous season, but I thought there was really not much chance like that. There was no task between the point at which the final four team left and they got eliminated. So there was no skill-based thing that would mean the difference between staying in the race and leaving the race. It came down to who got there the quickest.
You didn't like when David Copperfield put Connor into the box and then told Dave he killed him?
You know, a meaner podcaster than I would say that I didn't like it because he didn't really get set on fire. But I love Dave and Connor as people.
Yes. I mean, it's just so crazy. It's like, all right, David Copperfield is going to now pull a fast one on everybody. Psych! Your loved one's not dead.
He's just wearing a fireman outfit. Yeah. You know, I didn't love that. But last season, I felt like... I think the finales for the last several seasons have been just kind of like, go and do a cool task, and then go and do another cool task, and there's not a whole lot of brain power involved.
I will have to say, Jess, I think you're short selling the final part of the final leg from last season when they had to go into the what would you call it? The shipping facility at the port and then go memorize all of the numbers. Like I thought that was very hard and I thought that was good TV.
I thought it was hard. I don't think it was good TV.
Yeah.
Like okay. As we learned this
Amy episode, would disagree with you.
If you didn't learn it last season, you learned it this episode. Watching a bunch of people do math is not exactly the most compelling television.
All right. I'm drunker than Moses is. No, 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 Jess and Rob. Wait, Blair is not boring. He is so sarcastically witty. He makes me laugh so much. How can you find him funny? Drunker than Moses might be drunk.
Is he saying that Blair is funny, or is he saying Blair is not funny, or is he just saying he's drunk?
I think we said that Blair wasn't that funny, so I think, although we did say that we were corrected and said he was, so I don't know.
I think the assessment of Blair is Blair has his moments. I'm not going to say that Blair has me ROFLing every episode.
Yes.
But he has his moments.
I would say
not unfunny.
I will say, though, I'm standing by Haley is the star, and I think you could put almost anybody with Haley and that they would have good reactions.
Yeah, I'm behind you 100%.
All right. This is from Nathan Kowalczyk, who says, has a cameraman ever been separated from the racing team? Like, what if the team were to get on the train and the cameraman didn't get on in time?
That would never happen. They're very careful.
The subway doors are closing and somebody like does like an Indiana Jones and dives onto the subway.
I think you would get kicked off the show if you didn't get the cameraman. And they would find some reason to punish you for it. And like, you would get the worst edit ever. Be like, these people didn't get kicked off because they didn't let the cameraman on the train. It was because they talked about killing puppies.
Yes. Oh my God.
The worst ever.
Too Real wants to know, aren't these speed bump legs predictable? Because every time there has been one on this season, the speed bump team has gotten eliminated. That's interesting.
I'm really glad that this was brought up because, I thought of that too. Usually when we have over the course of a typical season, we have at least one team that gets saved by the non-elimination leg and then comes back stronger than ever and beats out their speed bump. Sometimes even like getting to the front of the pack with the speed bump. We've seen that happen. And I think this time it's just felt like, oh, we have like, this is a two-part leg and the first part doesn't count.
Yeah. I feel like with this speed bump this season, though, the teams, it's been a coincidence, I think. The teams that have lost on the speed bump legs, like, have all lost for other reasons. Like, the speed bump was, like, the least of their problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, honestly, I think Jonathan and Harley really got a raw deal. I think not getting that flight was the only reason they got eliminated.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Steve and Allie, I could make the case that they did kind of.
Oh, they screwed things up. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of screwed the pooch. And Matt and Ashley, I think, same thing. There's a reason they came in last place.
I agree. All right.
I think Matt and Ashley had the best chance of being able to bounce back from that. And I wish that we had seen that happen.
Okay. Let's do a couple more questions here. John Johnston wants to say, was anybody worried with Lauren Tyler getting the birthday curse? Jess, is there a birthday curse?
I don't know if there's a birthday curse per se, but you know that whenever somebody gets a character moment at the beginning of the episode where we learn something new about them, that usually means they're either going to have a great leg or a terrible leg. And I thought it was setting it up for Laura to say, oh, it's my birthday and I'm celebrating on the Amazing Race. And oh, womp, womp, you got eliminated. Because that has certainly happened before. There have been people voted out of Survivor on their birthday.
Tawana.
Yeah. People got kicked off the Amazing Race on their birthday. It happens. I don't think it's happens enough for it to be a curse, but I think anytime an episode starts with somebody talking about their family or about something great going on in their life or about, you know, I could really use this money because blah, 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 blah. Or they start crying at the beginning, like, this has been such an amazing experience, that you're getting kicked off.
That's it. Bill's Mac says, is this the longest race course in history, Jess? Can't imagine that's the case.
I can't imagine that's the case either, because we've had too many legs where there have been two legs in one location. I think that's happened too many times for this to count like mileage wise. They're in the early seasons, especially, they tried to go someplace different every single time and they really racked up the miles on that. So I don't think that's possible.
Okay. This is from Buck Hondo. I would definitely do the Mama's Challenge. You get to drink, no brainer.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from Roberto Bosco Zen. Once chosen, you may not switch detour. Has this happened before, Jess?
Okay, this came up, like, they actually did tweet this at me, and I'm not sure this actually happened. I don't think they said that, and but I am not 100% on that.
So what are you saying? You feel like that Matt and Ashley just thought that up? Like, what could you explain what exactly went on with Matt and Ashley and the mix up?
It was less that the rules were stating they couldn't switch and more like they didn't feel that they could switch, you know, like the cab driver took them to the wrong place. That's really not their fault. But
was that the wrong place? I feel like they were cutting to shots of like where they were supposed to go.
I think the thing that I'm not clear on, and I think what might have happened is there was a leg of the race in Panama a few seasons back where all the cab drivers knew each other and were calling each other on the phone. And so they knew where everybody was going. Like people get in there and, oh, it's a bunch of gringos and cameraman. You must want to go here. And they took them to the place without even like asking them where they wanted to go. And I think this might've been one of those situations where the cab drivers might've all been talking to each other like, oh yeah, yeah. Crazy gringos with the camera. They want to go here.
Yeah.
And they take them to the, you know, step two of the potato place instead of step one of the mama place.
Got it. All right. One more question tonight, Jess. Shannon G says, one, Tyler and Laura spitting on the potatoes was unsanitary and overall gross. Two, did you find it hard to root for Tyler and Laura this leg? I love Mike and Rochelle's approach of just using kindness to make it through the leg. Are you out on Tyler and Laura and rooting for them?
I'm not out on Tyler and Laura. I'm not out on anybody.
Yeah. I don't think that they're villains or anything like that, Tyler and Laura. Are they bougie, though? Are they bougie?
Well, they're a little bit bougie. I mean, okay, Hayes and Magdalena are bougie.
All right, let's see, Scott, give us one more if you have it. Okay, last one. Karen Tyler, Robin, Jess, who is the knowingest Amazing Race? Oh, it's Jessica and it's not close.
Yeah, I don't think we've not close.
Yeah, I don't
think. And, you know, I've never been on the show. So if we got somebody that had been on the show, they might give me a run for my money. But, you know, of Rob and me with equal Amazing Race experience between us, I definitely know more.
Oh, of course. Of course. Jess goes far more. That I am just the tourist here in Amazing Race, and Jess is the Sherpa taking me through this territory on my rented llama.
Indeed.
Yes.
Now, Rob, stop running the rented llama into the curb.
I'm going to keep just running the rented llama into the curb. All right. So, Jess, Monday, I will have the exit interview with Matt and Ashley. Soon, you will have a blog about the Amazing Race.
Soon, I will.
Yes. Yes. All right. And do we have a hashtag for this episode?
Well, I've got two that I noted here.
What do you got? And
you might have something better, but I've got Phil Neeson.
Okay.
And I've got llama insurance.
Llama insurance. I feel like Phil Neeson is hard to spell.
Probably.
Okay. All right. Let's go with Jess's llama insurance, because a lot of people don't realize that they already have it.
It's true. You know, don't fall for the scam.
Hi, I'm David Palmer. And how up to date is your llama insurance? Do you want credit for being a safe llama driver? Oh no, it's mayhem. Mayhem is coming on your llama.
Here comes Flo on another llama.
Yeah. Oh no, well, the llama just ate a gecko. All right. So, Jess, great job tonight. Very fun recap of tonight's episode all the way to Peru.
The pleasure was all mine.
Follow Jessica on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. Did you follow this week when somehow a conversation between this, it started off when Max Dawson was messaging to Scott Porter that he should come watch Survivor with the real Dirty 30.
Yep.
And then Mike Holloway jumped in. And it turned out that Max Dawson names all of his cats after Friday Night Lights characters. Mike said, are you too good to come and watch, Survivor with the Dirty 30? I said, well, now I feel like it's a pity invite. I'm only coming if Max names his cats, an RHAP, name, his next cat. And then it started and people were going on Twitter and posting names, future names for Max Dawson's cats, and Haymaker Caddy was definitely suggested.
Yeah, I personally would go with Rob Sespernino.
Whoa! All right, well, great job. Thanks so much, Scott, behind the scenes. Thanks to everybody who's watching the shows live as well. And Scott Gallagher for the Amazing Race recaps as well. Everybody, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.